This is our first time podcasting.
Cheers!
Cheers! Oh God. Welcome to Cocktails and Cults. We're already drunk, and we're in person. Sierra is in my living room as we speak.
I'm right next to her, catching her cooties.
I gave her a look. You couldn't see it, but I gave her a look.
Yeah, we're not taking shots this time because we're already...
We're already, like, what, 3-4 drinks in?
We are already drunk.
Yeah, so no shots today, but we are drinking gin and tonics made with the Snoop Dogg Indago gin. A little pro tip for you. The gin is not purple. It's just the bottle. You will be disappointed, but it tastes like strawberries.
In a summer evening.
And it tastes like the sun. Yep, it tastes like that. So we're not stopping. This is our third episode. We're done with the Nexium cult.
Yeah, we're moving on to bigger and better things, ladies and gentlemen. So we had this idea of doing sort of like one-off cults, sort of like My Favorite Murder style, where we share like a cult each that is kind of like, you know, more all-encompassing within a shorter amount of time.
There's a theme. We definitely have a theme tonight.
Yes. Do you want to share what our theme is?
Our theme is
beverages.
Beverages and tea-related cults. So that's specific.
Yes, we found a niche.
And there's two of them.
And apparently a lot of tea brands are related to cults. Who knew?
I mean, honestly, that sounds about right. Kind of, sort of.
I mean, I knew tea people were hippies anyways.
Right.
And hippies are more prone to being in cults.
I mean, just being a hippie itself, I feel like, is just like a cult in general.
That is true, but there are different types of hippies.
You're right.
Yes. Okay. This is awkward being in person.
We don't have, like, the camera to hide behind.
We're being vulnerable.
Yeah. We're just talking together like we do.
I'm staring at Maggie lovingly.
That's
cute.
That's romantic.
As I tell her a cult story.
Yeah. Romantic cult vibes.
Okay. I'm prefacing this with, I'm pretty sure, like 99% sure, these ideas came from TikTok. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there.
We're not original.
We definitely...
I haven't had a single original thought in my life.
We've gotten introduced to more cults over TikTok because it has figured out that that's what we like.
The algorithm knows that we are into cults.
So...
That's great.
I guess I'm kicking things off today, and I am doing the Yogi Tea Cult.
Tell me more about that, Sarah.
Do you ever buy Yogi Tea?
I don't.
I definitely have, and I don't know if anyone will know this who's listening out of my friends, but I was in...
Out of our 20 whole listeners or whatever.
Yes. I was in a class in Columbia where we had to do like a campaign for, you know, brands, real brands, but fake campaigns. And then one of the other groups in my class had to do theirs on Yogi Tea.
Okay.
And so they came up with like a whole campaign of how to like get people to like zen out and blah, blah, blah. Hmm. But this was before that I knew that it was like tied to a cult.
And they didn't know about the cult.
I don't think, I do not think that they did enough research.
Fair enough. I mean,
a whole portion of that project was doing research, and
they obviously skipped a step.
I really don't think that they did enough PR to understand that it stemmed from a cult.
Well,
and the founder. Okay, so we'll get into it. But the founder is essentially a cult leader, and I will tell you about him.
Yeah, tell me, Sarah.
And I'm sorry if this is a little bit of a downer. I mean, okay, we already covered like one of the worst sex cults, so how could it get even more down?
I mean, I think people really enjoyed the sex cult vibe, so like...
This is more of that.
Oh, you have a sex cult.
Okay. Well, hear me out. Hear me out when I say that I feel like I could be wrong. We have a cult podcast, and I could be wrong. But do or do not all cults somewhat involve sexual relations that are inappropriate?
I would say mine doesn't for this week, but...
Is it possible?
It's possible, but mine's kind of in its own little world, and I will explain that later.
Okay. Where I'm coming from is, like, pretty much every cult that I ever know involves some sort of sexual element. So, this is...
I mean, maybe because, like, sex is just part of life, you know? And cults encapsulate your whole life. So why wouldn't they take over your sex life, too?
I would venture to say that sex is a form of power and control. And that is what cults are all about.
We're on some big brain shit tonight.
Yeah, it's because I'm smart.
Yep, that's it.
Okay, well, moving on. So, this dude, his name, and, okay, I'm going to call him Yogi Bhajan. And I did not look it up on how to pronounce it.
Sierra!
No. Before you come at me. He's not deserving.
Fair enough. He's a shithole.
He's not deserving of me looking up how to pronounce his fucking name, right?
You're right.
He does not deserve that. Okay. So if his name is not Yogi Bhajan, it is now.
Because Sierra's coming for him.
With all due disrespect.
With all due disrespect, yes. Thank you.
Okay, so it all started in 1968/1969/ the Summer of Love.
Mine also takes place in the Summer of Love.
It's really when a lot of cults began.
It was also the Summer of Cults.
Woodstock. Woodstock Man was drugs. Like, well, druggies.
I feel like drugs have a lot to do with this, but maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, like, not mine, more so yours, I feel like. Okay, well,
we'll discuss. We're getting sidetracked already.
Woodstock, definitely, and the Summer of Love. This time period definitely, like, opened up minds as far as, like, people were getting more into spirituality and Eastern practices as far as medicine right. and spirituality.
People were
soul
searching.
They were just becoming more worldly and more open-minded, breaking away from their parents'
more
traditions.
More sexually open.
Definitely. Yeah, so it's
Summer of love, summer of fucking.
It's becoming more popular, like, among, like, the hippie movement. So... Within this era, the yoga practice of Kundalini became popular.
Wait, I actually think I know how to pronounce that. Can I see the word?
Kundalini? Kundalini.
Where's the word?
Kundalina? Kundalini.
You're not doing it. I can't think of it, but I'm aware of this practice. It's a little bit different than, like, what we would practice today.
How would you pronounce it?
I can't remember, but I took a yoga class at college, and so, like, my teacher taught, like, what we would consider yoga, like, at most Western classes, like,
yeah,
the typical, like, movement-based. This is more, like, spiritually focused, I would say.
This is...
It's different.
Very Eastern, but it's its whole own other
yes.
segment of yoga.
Yes, yes. It's its own thing. It's not, like...
It's very problematic.
And it's not like, I mean, it doesn't have to be, though.
No, let me get into it.
I don't, okay. Based on what I heard, maybe not, but, okay, carry on.
Okay, so, he was one of the many, it wasn't only him, but he was one of the many who introduced this into America and sort of made it into something different. Especially in California, especially in LA. And this is where it got adopted. It became its own little
Sounds
thing.
Right.
Whereas, you know, maybe it didn't have those intentions. But so it grew out of, like, LA, Beverly Hills. He also, like, him and his cult and that, you know, it took place in New Mexico.
Okay.
I'm going through the, like, where portion
yeah, yeah.
of things.
So did they, like, move from California to New Mexico at some point?
He
Or was he like bouncing between the two?
He bounced all over the place. Okay. He had shady practices in LA, and that's sort of where things like kicked off and where he got a lot of money from.
Maybe exploiting the rich people.
He owned a lot of things in New Mexico. That's where like most of his cult was. And then they would often travel to India. And then there were some like boarding school issues that I'll get into in India. And then the Yogi Tea cult, Yogi Tea, the business, is based out of Oregon. So
all over the place.
Essentially, I'll get into it, but Yogi Tea, the brand, is a byproduct of Yogi Bhajan.
Okay.
Who has a lot of problematic practices. That tea company was just a product of it.
Okay.
Of his money and his power.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So like,
this is kind of like a similar vibe to where like the tea brand isn't the cult.
Yes.
It's the ideas that created the tea brand.
Exactly. Yes. It's the origin of the company. It's not the company itself. The company may in fact not stand by.
And I'm like, sure he's like, things. Well, he's either dead or like no longer involved.
He is dead. You were right. I'll get into that.
I figured.
I'm taking a sip.
I tell you, this Snoop gin, it do taste like strawberries.
Hot diggity dog.
Thanks. This is not sponsored by Snoop Dogg, but we would love if it could be.
Okay, so he was a customs inspector who moved to the U.S. in 1968. Okay. He sort of reinvented himself. And he started teaching the practice of Kundalini. I don't fucking care if I'm pronouncing that wrong. Let me get that straight right now, okay?
God, we're going to get canceled because of this. I'm kidding. We're probably
I don't
we have 20 care. Listeners. No one's canceling
I don't.
Us.
I don't fucking care.
If we get canceled, it was a good run.
Rate and review and let me know if I pronounced these yoga terms wrong.
Yeah, all three of our listeners.
Okay, anyways.
Anyway, carry on.
So he, from like his teaching of this yoga practice, he sort of formed his own adaptation of Sikhism.
Okay. Yes.
Like a Sikh.
Yes.
Where everyone wore white and turbans and veils.
Right.
And everyone was a vegetarian. He sort of marketed himself as like a guru or a god to be worshipped, who is all-knowing. You see where this is going to go wrong?
Yeah, because like everything before that, like, which was fine. Like, this is all cultural. Like, that is, but like when he starts making himself a god, that's when the problems start for me.
It's actually not though, because you know what? Sheiks don't wear white and they're not vegetarian.
Well,
so.
Okay, fair enough. But like,
He changed these things. He kind of took
pieces of other cultures from India.
He took something and made it his own and proclaimed that, like, he was all-knowing and that he had everyone's best interest at heart. And basically, like, it was for the best. And it had no basis in anything. He made this shit up. So,
and I'm sure, like, white people in America were like, this seems real. Because they wouldn't know any better.
I can't tell you why they all sort of glommed onto it. But anyways, he gained a following. And he began many companies within his legacy, which is called Happy, Healthy, Holy Organization.
Oh, God.
Which, in parentheses, it is abbreviated as 3HO. So Yogi Tea is one of these, like,
sorry, I'm
companies.
Just thinking of the band 303 now. Continue.
Fair enough. The other company is a security company.
Sorry, why are they doing security?
No, just wait. They deal with the American. Hi.
We'll cut this part out.
We're podcasting.
Yeah. What'd you get in the mail?
Maggie.
Maggie. Are these all for me?
No. Sorry for annoying. We will be.
We will be. We're drunk. Okay.
Resume. Action. So they deal with the U.S. military and ICE.
I'm already suspicious. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, they...
How did this guy, like, do business... How did he get involved with the military and ICE?
I didn't really dive into that portion of it, but definitely that security company is very shady, and
Sounds like lots of
protests with their involvement in ICE.
Okay.
And then...
Well, fuck ICE, so...
Aside from his companies, he has his hands in a lot of other shady businesses, such as international drug rings!
Who is... What? How is it... How does he have time to be involved in all of these things?
He brought in a lot of illegal marijuana. And
I'm sure, Summer of Love, that made him bank, I'm sure.
Yes. And so he also had, like, a business in, like, basically selling luxury jewelry and gems that were either, like, counterfeit or just, like, way overpriced. And investment scams, too. So he had sort of like a business mind where he was willing to screw people over. And that is how he, like, gained a lot of wealth and was able to have these companies.
Right.
And so it contributed to his lavish lifestyle. He had, like dozens of sports cars. He had vacations. He had luxury houses. And this is opposite of the life that he enforced others to live.
This is giving me Wild Wild Country vibes. I don't know if you've watched that.
I haven't yet, but we will get to it.
Yeah. We'll discuss that.
Well,
on
definitely.
The pod.
But he definitely, like, because it was rooted in religion and Sikhism. And so, like, he forces followers to live, like, sort of a modest religious life. He, of course, was immune to that.
He was taking their money and spending it.
And so, well, not their money.
His drug money.
Yeah, other people's money. These people were broke. They didn't have anything.
Interesting, okay.
As most cult members don't.
I'm sure we will discuss this on another episode, but the cult in Wild Wild Country, like, they specifically recruited wealthy people and convinced them to give all
the money. Well, and, like, next time, like, you had to have money to, like...
Join.
But these people, they had nothing.
Okay.
So, essentially, we're getting into the icky part. That was sort of the setup of, like, his business world. And that's not really the basis of it. Obviously, there's a lot of legality issues with that. But the culty part of it is
I want the fucked up part.
The allegations of physical and sexual abuse of women and children.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I mean, what did you think was going to happen?
I don't know, but, like, I was kind of hoping it wasn't that bad.
I'm going to take another sip.
Yeah, we're just going to take a sip. Drink break.
Okay. So there are many legal suits against his estate and
as they should.
Other accusations from former members who've come forward, including his former secretary of 20 years who wrote a book, 16 years in the making. Her name was Pamela Sarah Dyson. And just so you know, like, they all
like the
had.
Sorry.
Good thing. Inappropriate.
I ruined it. I'm sorry.
They all had, like, these sort of, like, Eastern-inspired names.
Okay.
Different from their given names.
Okay, so they, like, made up names for themselves.
Yes.
Okay.
And this is the phrase that I coined, but if that's not a cult, I don't know what is. When you start making up fake names.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways, moving on. She was one of the first to, like, detail these things after his death, which was in 2004. So a lot of this came to light after he died. And so she alleges She alleges that...
Fuck.
She alleges that Bahan and... She alleges that Bahan had...
Collect yourself. This is serious.
I'm so sorry.
We'd like to apologize.
This is very serious.
We're having a meltdown.
Bahan had coerced her and other staff members into sex.
Gross.
He himself was married for 50 plus years, and he told everyone that he was celibate.
But who is he married to?
A woman.
Well,
she's not important to the story. Okay. She's sort of like a bystander, and she was a faithful wife who had nothing to really contribute.
Okay.
And he did what he wanted. So he...
Which was not be faithful.
He told... Well, that's not the issue.
Oh.
He... cheating is one thing. This is another.
Okay.
He claimed that he was celibate, and he...
Sounds like someone else we know. Mr. Keith.
Yes. There are a lot of similarities with Keith, as you will find out. He shattered people's worlds when they would discover him, actually walk in on him, having sex with young followers / slaves / workers. They were...
Keith didn't have an original idea. That's all.
Yeah. They were his followers, but they were more than that. They were enslaved to mm-hmm. him because they thought he was godly. They believed that they were... They actually believed that while they knew that something sexual was happening, unlike people with Keith, like, they thought that he was a godlike figure, and so they thought that they couldn't get pregnant. They thought that, like, he couldn't...
That's how birth control works, but...
No, I know, but, like, they thought that, like, he had divine powers so that, like, they wouldn't get pregnant. And so they thought that, like, it was their duty to have sex with him. But
did some of them get pregnant?
Yes. Okay. So many of them were forced to get abortions. And, yeah, he said that it was their duty. And yet he would only let married couples within the cult have sex once a month during fertility.
I have a question. Just.
Okay.
This might be off the cuff. I'm drunk.
Okay.
But wouldn't, like, per se, if he was a deity to these cult members, wouldn't, like, him impregnating them be, like,
an honor?
Yeah, like he's making little baby god cult dudes.
Well.
But I guess he didn't want people to know.
It definitely was not. It was shameful because he shut it down immediately.
Okay. He probably didn't want people to know he was fucking people.
Honestly, I think he really didn't give a fuck because so many people discovered this about him. And he, which I'll get into, he became very, very violent, and he was threatening people their lives if they left or, like, God. Told on him.
Jeez Louise.
So, I think it was just more of, like, they did what they had to do.
Fair enough.
But anyways, with the married couples in the cult, he had his hands in everything. So, he arranged over 500 marriages. He, mm-hmm. everyone who was either born into the cult or was a part of the cult, he would arrange their marriages by random.
Maybe I need that.
He tampered with relationships. He basically chose people at random saying that he had this divine, like, thought.
Was there, like, was there, like, a questionnaire you filled out?
No!
Or he, like, literally just, like...
He said,
you and you.
He said, you and you, your auras align. And then they were horrible matches. They were horrible matches.
These dating app algorithms not looking so bad now.
He shamed and ostracized gay members, which is not surprising.
I mean, it was,
he
to be fair, it was the 70s.
Groomed girls at a young age to be married off to his elite and wealthy friends.
That's disgusting.
You have a lot to say about this.
I'm sorry. I'm really talkative tonight.
We haven't gotten to the worst part
yet. This isn't the worst part. What's the worst part?
Just calm the fuck down and I'll tell you.
Okay. I'm sorry, guys.
Take a sip.
I'm going to take a sip. I think I should just keep my mouth on the straw this whole time.
Former followers of Yogi Bhajan are speaking out about years of severe physical, sexual, My sources are the LAMag.com, YogaJournal.com, and GuruMag.com, all of which wrote very, very extensive articles on this man and quoted these people and their, like, findings, their reports. Like, this is all from the alleged, like, people who were abused.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
Yes, those are my sources, by the way. So they are speaking out now about severe physical, sexual, and verbal and emotional abuse. They claim he ran a destructive cult and groomed and abused children. Bhajan coerced his followers to send their children away for years to expensive training schools in India.
Okay, now we're at the boarding schools.
Yep, where they were physically beaten, emotionally abused, and indoctrinated. So imagine being shipped off as a child to a foreign country and then getting beaten and abused in, like, a third world country with, like, access to nothing.
So fucked up.
Being forced to do, like, things that you don't want to do. There was a picture. There was a picture where these boys were forced, young boys were forced to take a picture with dirty socks in their mouths as punishment. If that gives you any idea.
That makes me very sad.
Yeah, and children, children swapping was a regular occurrence to discourage motherly nature and bonds.
So they, like, traded kids?
Yeah, so basically, like, being a mother and having any emotional tie to your children was forbidden, basically. So they would swap children so that no one really belonged to anyone, which is actually common in cults.
Yeah, that sounds familiar to another cult I'm thinking of, but I can't think of which one it was.
It's to destroy that bond so that, like, everyone's dependent on their leader, essentially. And fathers were often the witnesses of the abuse of their children. And they did nothing because they were blind followers. So, former long-term staff member, and they're called staff members because they were, like, his staff who, like, worked for him and were secretaries for him or whatever.
That's giving me Scientology vibes.
Yeah, because he ran this, like, whole ring. Anyways, her name is Kate Felt. She claims that Bhajan brutally raped her at an age of 20 while her sister, Amrit Kaur Khalsa, who is the current head of Kundalini Operations in 3HO, helped him. Her own sister watched.
That's making me really sad.
She also alleges that Bhajan kept her hostage with armed guards in the cult. There is a lot more to her story as well as Pamela's story. That's just sort of like a brief synopsis.
Yeah.
Yogi Bhajan stated, get this, he stated in a lecture in 1979. So this wasn't, like, even, like, a recent thing where, like, the abuse started coming out later and later and later. Things went south very, 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 very quickly.
Okay.
He stated, rape is always invited. It never happens. A person who is raped is always providing subconsciously the environments and the arrangements.
I mean, that's giving me, like, flashbacks to what we were talking about with Keith, like, where he was, like, talking about it was okay to rape a baby. Like, it's just, these leaders will do anything to excuse their, like, fucked up sexual fantasies and their abuse.
They're willing to go to the ends of the earth to say that rape is okay so that they can do it. Yeah. So besides, like, the rape, he was very, very physically violent to men and women equally. But everyone thought that he knew what was best, so they kind of accepted it. Like, mm-hmm. no one really, like, lashed out. And, like, depressed men would come to him and, like basically confide in him, saying, like, I need help. And then he would beat them silly.
Ugh.
Yeah. And women got slapped around silly. It was awful. And basically, so a commissioned report / investigation and apologies, but like, I don't think this is very recent. I think this report was done kind of like at the beginning of when things started alleging, but it's not all encompassing. Okay. So it's not comprehensive by any means, but just to give you an idea, like, there were 4 reported instances of rape, 8 instances of physical injury during sex, 9 instances of unwanted touching in intimate areas, 3 instances of unwanted exposure to pornography.
And this is just the reported stuff.
This is just the reported stuff during this, like, third-party investigation at a certain point in time.
So, like, I'm sure there was more.
This is just the tip of the iceberg. This
absolutely,
yeah, this just goes to show you what was written down at a certain point. So it details many of the ways that Behan was, like, allegedly able to intimidate and coerce his followers into obeying his rules through, like, violence, mm-hmm. which led to an atmosphere of fear, of aggressive reprisal, including ostracization and being banished from the community, which obviously that's prominent in a lot of cults, but, like, yeah, the fear and intimidation.
Yeah.
A scholar claims that he blended. So we're getting more into, like, the yoga stuff.
Okay.
He was a phony. Okay. Believe it or not. He blended modern techniques and ideas to create the Kundalini poses, mm-hmm. claiming that they were ancient, but really had no basis in, like, ancient practices. He made the shit up. Former staff members say that some poses were literally made up on the spot during the yoga classes. He did not know what he was doing, and he took something and completely ran with it.
I mean, I guess if you vibe with a stretch, you vibe with a stretch, but
he was bullshit, man.
Sounds about right.
The victims think that his breathing exercises along with, guess what, forced fasting and starvation.
When you're hungry, you can't think straight.
Commonalities. These breathing exercises during, like, the classes and the poses helped induce confusion and disorientation and therefore, like, dependency and needing to, like, basically rely on his help and being receptive to, like, what he was teaching and what he wanted. Basically, like, a psychosis through, like, breathing techniques.
I mean, because, like, I'm all for a good breathing exercise.
I believe it, honestly. Because think about, like, if you're starving and lightheaded.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Like, it's one thing if you're just, like, doing some deep breathing techniques. It's another if you're starving, you're holding your breath for weird amounts of time.
It, basically, like, just weird repetition,
yeah,
and then your mind goes to a different place.
Especially if you're hungry and you,
yeah. So he was and is still revered by many of his students. There are many, 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 many followers of Kundalini. Many people who are willing to, like, fight for his legacy, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
And many, on the contrary, many studios have stopped practicing this altogether.
Yeah.
They are removing his name completely. They are removing, like, literally pictures and quotes on their walls of him and preaching from it. Yeah. Like, some studios are withholding it. Some are, like, saying you can, somewhere in the middle where they're, like, separating the art from the artist.
Okay. like there's value in some of the practices. Yes.
So they're like continuing to teach the practices, but removing like his preachings.
Okay.
And then other people all together who even were former like students of his and that are completely denying him and saying like, you know, like this is bullshit. Yeah. And like this should never be taught.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So by the way, he died in 2004.
Good for him.
Of severe diabetes, obesity.
I'm sorry, I thought you were gonna say severe diarrhea and I almost lost it. But like good for him with his severe diabetes too.
That's the death he deserves.
Severe diarrhea. I'm so sorry.
Severe diabetes, obesity, and heart failure. After he had an illegal kidney transplant. He had an illegal kidney transplant.
How?
In India.
Oh, that, yep. Okay, that makes more sense.
Yep. And if that's the way he died, he deserved it. So, you know those studios that I said still, like, yes. Practice or whatever? A ton of celebrities that we know and love go there.
Expose them on this podcast. Go.
Demi Moore.
That doesn't surprise me.
Alicia Keys.
Demi Moore. Can I just, like, give a quick opinion on Demi Moore that I, like, think she, like, low-key might have groomed Ashton Kutcher? Can we discuss that really briefly?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. I would agree with that. Also, have you seen her fucked up face recently?
No, but that sounds about right.
She got a ton of plastic surgery.
More plastic surgery? She already had some.
She got a ton of plastic surgery. She looks like a totally new person.
Like Khloe Kardashian?
No. She looks awful.
Oh, God. Because Khloe, have you seen Khloe's new face?
No. I'm going to pull up a picture of Demi Moore right now.
We'll put it on the Instagram.
She looks absolutely awful. Demi Moore, plastic surgery, yes. Okay. Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Have you seen that? That's Demi Moore.
That looks like me when I try to contour poorly.
She looks 10 times older, does she not?
She looks like Wednesday Addams got old and sad and dead.
She looks terrible. Okay, anyways.
Yeah, continue.
Alicia Keys, apparently her instructor, who was like a student of him, mm-hmm. like convinced her to stop wearing makeup altogether.
That's why she doesn't wear makeup anymore?
Yeah. Russell Brand, which we all know he's problematic, but yeah, like...
I mean, some of these aren't really surprising me.
Okay, but I really like Kate Hudson. Kate Hudson is a follower.
But that also doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't surprise me, but it saddens me.
But like, also she probably just has not done the research to know that like, what's behind it, you know? Because we didn't find out about this weird dude till TikTok, so like...
But you also don't attend these, like, LA yoga courses.
No, but, like, I'm sure they're not being, like, by the way, this guy raped people.
But these people who are teaching them were, like, taught and groomed by him directly.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyways, to end on, like, a negative note, there were a lot of mysterious murders tied to his people and his right-hand men.
We love a good mysterious murder.
I'm not going to get into that because it would just
That's a different podcast.
A different rabbit hole. So yeah, that is the Yogi T cult and Yogi Bhajan, who is a
fucked
horrible
up piece of
douchebag.
Cool. Yeah. All right. So thank you for that, Sierra. So I'm going to talk about the not well-known cult behind Sleepy Time Tea, in the brand Celestial Seasonings. I don't know if I said that right.
I've bought a lot of tea from them and I don't know that I will know.
I don't think we need to cancel Sleepy Time Tea.
You don't think?
No, I don't think so.
I definitely.
I'll tell you why.
Okay, I will definitely stay away from Yogi Tea.
Definitely stay away from Yogi Tea. I think Celestial Seasonings is, like...
removed?
I mean, so basically the guy who was, like, involved with the weird cult religion, he no longer works with the company.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get to that later.
Okay.
So we're going to go back to the summer of 1969, the summer of love. We're going to go back. We're still in that summer. And we're going to talk about our guy, Mo. Mo Siegel.
Mo.
So Mo had a passion for herbal teas. And bringing herbal teas at the, like, in 1969.
Was this sort of like the Eastern sort of inspired? Right.
It's like where herbal teas weren't really popular in the U.S. Like, people were drinking, like, tea, but they weren't drinking herbal teas.
I'm sorry. What's a non-herbal tea?
So, like, tea comes from, like, the tea leaf. So, like, black tea, green tea, white tea, that all comes from the tea leaf plant.
Yeah, but, like, is
herbal tea does tea not have... green tea is not herbal tea.
It isn't.
So herbal tea comes from, like, flowers, herbs. There's no actual, like, tea leaves.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, maybe sometimes there is a little in the blend.
I
but
trust
like,
you. I trust you.
As the resident tea expert.
Okay.
So, yes, summer 1969. We're in Colorado. So Mo's working
Rocky out, Mountains.
Yeah. So Mo's working at a local health food store. He's trying to get herbal teas to become popular. Yeah, it sounds about right, doesn't it? He probably has a pair
of
Birkenstocks.
You had that St. Louis accent that came out a little.
My southern accent comes out when I'm drunk. I'm so sorry.
Popular.
Anyway. God. Anyway. So him and his friends, that summer they start like, sorry, Sierra's eating our, cinnamon snacks from Taco Bell. Anyway, so it's, they're gathering herbs. They're doing their best to make their teas. Him and his friend, John Hay, and some other friends, John's really this is a nightmare. Anyway, John's really the only one you need to know out of this group.
What happened to Mo?
John and Mo. Like, these are the two main dudes. Okay, okay. But, like, there's a whole group of friends who are, like, trying to make these teas.
Okay.
So at one point, so, like, in summer of 69, it's just Mo and some friends. Mm-hmm. Then John joins in 1971, and he's got the money. And he's got the business degree.
No.
I'm sorry, but Sierra's like mouth fucking a donut. Anyway, so to get a loan for their new herbal tea company, they roll up to the bank. They're wearing jeans. They got a Tupperware full of tea. This is a direct quote from the Wikipedia page. They're trying to get a loan. It works, obviously. And so supposedly the name Celestial Seasonings comes from John's girlfriend's flower name.
Oh, like hippy dippy flower.
Yeah, name? But no one can like
corroborate.
Corroborate. I was going to say collaborate. That's true. Mm. We think it comes from somewhere else. Where? So Mo, both Mo and John were really into this thing called the Urantia book. Otherwise known as the Urantia Papers.
That's where shit gets wild.
This is where it gets crazy. So we're gonna back
Shit's
it up.
About to get down.
We're gonna back it up to like the 20s through the 50s.
Oh shit.
Sorry, I'm scrolling in my notes. I'm a little bit. Oh, we're in Chicago, and we're gonna talk about Chicago. So the Urantia book
it
started
originated
in Chicago. So this physician and his wife. They're well known in Chicago. They're like supposedly like reputable. Okay.
Okay.
So supposedly they're approached by this neighbor who is concerned that her husband's like having some weird deep sleeps. She can't wake him up. And so him and his Mr. Sadler, one of the physician and his wife, Mrs. Sadler.
Okay.
Definitely didn't write down their first names. They decide to go over to their neighbor's house, which, like, this is going to be such a side tangent, but so
I'm already lost.
Yeah, I'm already listen, researching this made me lost, but okay. So this man that was having these weird dreams was supposedly like unnamed.
Okay.
But it's come out that it was likely, like, the guy who started Kellogg's cereal.
What?
Yeah! Anyway. And he was married to, like, his first cousin. who is related to the Sadlers as well.
Isn't Kellogg based in Michigan? Was he from Michigan?
Something like that. But apparently at one point he lived in Chicago.
Oh.
Anyway.
Okay.
Mr. Kellogg was having some weird dreams.
I only know he was that breathing because
I'm sure he had sleep apnea. Okay. But it's the 20s. We don't know what sleep apnea is. So they come to check over him.
Or epilepsy.
And he has, like, he talks in his sleep, I guess, too. Okay. And so they decide to, like, start recording his weird dreams.
Okay.
And supposedly these weird dreams are brought to you by aliens.
Freud would have ate this shit up.
Well, this guy kind of, I think, was like a student of Freud.
You're right.
Yeah.
He was so inspired by Freud. I think I remember
I think he actually genuinely studied under Freud.
I remember seeing this. Okay, so I briefly looked this up when, like, this topic got, like, brought to our attention. Mm-hmm. And I definitely remember seeing something that it is stemmed from Freud.
Right.
And he would have loved it.
So anyway, technically the book doesn't list a publisher or a human author. It's written by the aliens that have taken over Mr. Kellogg.
What?
But historians...
Wait.
And
okay, go on.
Basically, it's like how, like, the Bible was written by God.
So...
The Urantia book was written by the aliens who took over Mr. Kellogg.
But was it Mr. Kellogg who wrote it, or was it the person who was studying Mr. Kellogg?
So that's what I was about to talk about.
That's why I said go on.
Historians think it was, like, a kind of a combo of the two. They actually... There's debate, but, like... it actually, most people think Kellogg wrote most of it, and then,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, sounds about right.
And then, the doctor, Sadler, Mr. Sadler, and, like, people he hired, because he would, like, get groups together and, like, talk on Sundays about spiritual shit, as one does, because there's nothing else to do in the 1900s.
On a Sunday, which yeah. is Spiritual Sunday.
Yeah, Spiritual Sunday. They think they kind of edited it and, like, added more. Because this is a 2,000-page book.
Okay.
You can download it for free because they lost a case in Arizona, like, trying to get copyright because it was, like, a religious text. So they're like, well, you can't. It's public domain. So you can go download this for yourself and read all 2,000
pages.
Right,
because, well, hold up. You have to buy a Bible at, like, a
But you can
store.
Also download a PDF of the Bible.
That's true. There are, like, free Bible apps now.
Yeah. I definitely had a Bible app.
But not all of them are created equal. But is there, like, one public domain Urantia book?
Well, it was written in English. There's the English translation, and I think that's kind of that. Well, there...
Of what?
Yeah, it's not like the Bible where it was, like, written in, like...
Hebrew.
Hebrew, Arabic, and... Hebrew. No, the New Testament was written in Aramaic, but I went to Christian school. Anyway.
I was a Christian. I am a Christian.
Anyway, Sierra's okay.
Okay, moving on.
Jesus spoke Aramaic. I can't
cut that part out.
No.
Okay.
I don't cut things. I can't read my notes right now. I'm not gonna lie to you. Where were we? So, yeah, so there's this book's, like, 2,000 pages. They lost a court case. It's public domain. So this book is also called, besides the Urantia book, it's called the Urantia Papers because it was kind of written in, like, pieces. It's also called the Fifth Epochal Revelation, which, like, already you're, like, cult vibes.
If it has anything
epochal
related
and
to
revelation.
Epochal or, like, apocalypse.
Yeah.
You know.
So, yeah, it was written between 1924 and 1955. I think 1955 was kind of when it was, like, finalized. And it kind of aimed to, like, combine the spiritual, the philosophical, and science.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
So you said it was written in Chicago?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of, like, where it might have stemmed from because... Like, this is sort of maybe, like, the beatnik era. Is there a possibility that these were, like, some beatniks that were taking some hallucinogenic drugs?
No, it was, like,
weird doctors having weird vibes.
That is very similar to Beatnix.
There's no proof drugs were involved.
Okay. So
based on my research, there's no proof drugs
were involved. It was just a bunch of weird people.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to see if it could get tied back to essentially, like, before the whole hippie movement, like, you know, like, a different movement.
I mean, like, doctors were prescribing, like, opium as, like, a regular remedy, so, like,
sure,
they could have been fucked up. Anyway, let's talk about the Garantia book a little bit.
Okay.
And, like, what it stands for.
Uh-huh. First of all, do you believe in aliens?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
I haven't decided yet either. Okay.
If there are aliens, it's not, like, actual aliens. I think there could be, like, life outside of Earth, but I don't think there's, like...
Touché! Touché! That's exactly what I was gonna say. I was gonna say, I believe that there might be other living things in this universe,
but I don't think they're, like, green little men.
Yes. I do not think that aliens are remotely similar to humans, and I do not think that there are life forms that are as remotely intelligent as humans.
Have you seen Spice World?
And it's definitely no. Okay. And it's definitely not green little men.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so this book is like if Seventh Day Adventism and like Mormonism and like aliens and dinosaurs had a baby.
What about Scientology? Does that fit in there?
Not really.
Okay.
Maybe, but anyway. So in this book, God is the creator and upholder of all reality. So we're still Jesus. We're still God. And God's like, he's important. All right. He's the father of love.
For some reason, I don't think we're talking about the same God here.
It's starting to get confusing, and I'm so sorry for.
Okay.
So Urantia is Earth. That's the name for Earth. All right.
According to who?
According to this book.
Why did they feel a need to rename Earth?
Well, so there's lots of universes and planets, and they all have meanings. And, like, it's said in this book that when you die, you, like, then get to other planets. And, like, the goal is to get to, like, the planet God's on. Otherwise known as Havana. So Cuba.
Havana, oh no, no. My heart is in a...
You heard it here first. Oh, God lives in Cuba. So at the center of the universe is the Isle of Paradise, Havana. I guess it's Havana. But, you know.
Havana, Havana, Tamina.
Yeah, that's where God lives.
Isle of Paradise, Cuba, same difference.
And then there's, like, a ton of So, like, basically, they were trying to, like, combine, like, evolution, God, aliens, all into one thing. Because, like, this is when, like, Darwin was, like, starting to, like, kind of gain popularity. Like, I think they were trying to justify a lot of, like, science with
religion.
They were trying to pair it all together. Anyway.
God, yeah, so that sounds confusing.
Earth... Yeah, I'm, like, already confused. I'm so sorry. But Urantia is in the remote local universe called Nebadon, which is in part of Super Universe number 7.
And I'm assuming these are not NASA scientists naming these things.
No, this is religious aliens speaking through the Kellogg cereal man.
Through his dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just digesting. Okay, go on.
I'm, like, lost again. I need to go on my Wikipedia page. Okay. Here we go. So this book also, like, Mr. Sadler and Mr. Kellogg, were big fans of, like, eugenics and, like, purifying the races. And so basically there's, like, there were different colors of aliens.
Oh, really?
Let me see if I can find it.
Really?
Let me see if I can find where, like, the original colors were. And there was, like, a hierarchy of the colors of aliens, blue being the, like, lowest.
So non-human colors being characterized as
there was like a pecking order of alien colors. Oh, and then Adam and Eve were like 10-foot tall pale aliens who rolled up.
Are they like the standard?
No, so what I basically in this book, Adam and Eve like fuck shit up, and that's why the earth is like the way it is. Like,
I mean, fair.
Yeah, that's what it is in the Bible too, but like it's different. And this is like a little bit different to where like they weren't doing the alien things correctly.
But they were.
I can't read properly aliens. Right now. They were, and they were 10 feet tall.
What the fuck?
Anyway, so, like, you can read more about this book, but it makes no sense.
I want to hear about the colors.
Let me see if I can find it. It's in the Wikipedia page, I promise.
I'm sorry. I really want to know, like, is purple better than blue, or like,
so I
is green better than blue?
I think green might have been like the best one. I'm not joking,
because that is the 50s version of what an alien is.
Yeah, so like there's this book has four parts. So we have part one, which is the central and super universes. So that's talking about the Eternal, that's talking about the Isle of Paradise, Havana. God, so the Trinity. It's rehashing the Bible.
I was just gonna say rewriting the Bible in terms of aliens.
Right. And then we get to part two, which is the local universe. So this is talking about Nebadon and Urantia, the Earth.
Rewriting the Bible in humans, terms of aliens.
Angels, animals, all that good stuff that we're familiar with.
I'm sorry, they have angels and aliens?
Apparently. We're all over the place. They have like a website. You can go visit like the Urantia Truth website or whatever. I think they have a podcast too.
Is it up to date?
Yeah, there's people who like still are involved in this thing. I'll get to that in a little bit. And then you have part three, which is the history of Urantia, which has like a loose history of the Earth. So it's, and this is when they start to try to tie in like evolution, Adam and Eve.
God created the aliens in 7 days.
Yeah, basically they're trying to like justify science and religion in that part. Uh-huh. And then we get to the fourth part. The largest part, 775 pages, which is the life and teachings of Jesus. And it is said to cover the missing parts of Jesus's life. Because, like, the Bible kind of, like, there's, like, a brief story. It, you know, he's born. And then there's kind of, like...
He's born and then he's 30.
But there's, like, one brief story when he's, like, 12. So this is supposed to cover... Or, like, 13. This is supposed to cover ages, like, 1 through 12.
Oh.
And then, like, 13 through 30.
So just making shit up.
Yeah, they made shit up. And then there's, like, other stuff. And then it also talks about, like, the good old crucifixion, all that. It talks about, like, the regular Christian stuff. Okay. And that's the part that's, like, mostly stolen from Seventh-day Adventism.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I really want to find this, like, the color part for you.
That's okay.
Because you're really excited about
Move
it.
Move on.
There's a lot of different colors of aliens, and... God created the aliens, and then Adam and Eve came along and fucked it up, and now we're on Earth.
Question.
Yes, you're raising your hand.
Was Jesus an alien, according to them?
It doesn't really cover that. I mean, I'm sure it does if you read all 2,900-something pages.
I'm just saying, if God created aliens and Adam and Eve was an alien, then Jesus would be an alien. Which means all humans would be aliens, which means, like... We are aliens, which...
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
I'm on the Wikipedia page.
Okay.
So, like, according to this book and the regular Bible, like, Jesus is...
One of us.
Human and divine.
Yes.
Son
of God.
He's not an alien. Oh, here we go. Actually, this is... We're on to something here. I found the good part. Jesus... This is a direct quote from the Wikipedia page. Jesus is considered the human incarnation of Michael of Nebadon, one of more than 700,000 paradise sons of God, or creator sons. So Jesus is not considered the second person of the Trinity as he is in Christianity. The book refers to the eternal Son as the second person of the Trinity. So I'm guessing what it means is like in alternate universes, there are other forms of Jesus that are like the Son of God.
My mind's a little bit blown.
Yeah, this is why like the research was really hard for me because I was like, this makes no sense. But basically, this whole religion at its core is like trying to back up like eugenics and like racism.
Okay.
And then throw in some like religion and other fun stuff.
Purple and blue and green.
Yeah. Oh, this was a quote from another podcast. Dinosaurs and Jesus all in one book.
Oh, that is the part that all Christians have been wondering for their entire lives.
Well, they justified it all in one book.
Well, there you go.
So basically, this is this religion that Mo and John subscribed to, who started Sleepy Time Tea and Celestial Seasonings. And they founded the whole company culture based on this religion and the, like, inspirational quotes that are printed on the tea bags are from this book.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's the part that's, like, a little...
Oh, no.
So, like, in their... This is the part I wrote down and I got really interested by. When they, like, started, like, their company and it, like, first started taking off and growing, they decided to start lunchtime volleyball. I wish I was joking. I literally wrote in all caps, what the fuck is with cults and volleyball?
Okay. There are a lot of common threads between cults, but why is volleyball one of them?
That's a good question.
Okay, was Keith inspired by all tea cults?
I think Keith was pulling bits and pieces from other cults, so it's very likely that he might have gotten this from these people. Jeez. But anyway, I think John was more of like a silent partner, and then so at some point Mo left the Sleepy Time Tea Celestial Seasonings.
Why?
Because he is now the president of the Urantia Foundation. So he's basically the head of this Urantia cult now.
But why did he separate from Sleepy Time?
Because he wanted to be more involved with the cult.
Are they still in good relations, though?
No, I don't think so. So, like, not that they're not in good relations, but, like, they don't associate with the religion.
Oh, really?
No longer.
Okay.
But, like, he left, I think, I want to say it was, like, 20 years ago. He left a while ago because he was, like, I'm full-time committing my life to being the president of a cult.
Okay, that's good to know.
And you can, like, there's, like, study groups around the country that you can join.
Okay, that's good,
and, like,
to know.
And, like, learn about the Urantia book.
Okay, but why hasn't Sleepy Time Tea, if they're separated, like, chosen different cults for their tea bags?
That's a good question. So basically how this all came out is because this one woman, I think she was with Business Insider or like a similar magazine. She like went and toured the factory and she's like, oh, I'm just going to write like a fluff piece on the like founder of this tea company. Like, cause they gave like a little background. They're like, oh, they started this in Colorado, Summer of Love, like bringing herbal tea
little
to the United States.
Know.
And she started doing the research and she was like, wait, what the fuck is this like weird religion where there's aliens and Jesus and eugenics all in one? Dinosaurs and Jesus all in one book.
Oh my God.
I definitely didn't explain that well, but like literally the research is so, I like watch YouTube videos. I listen to podcasts and like still did not understand this religion.
So how many people are, like, followers of this? Or, like,
it's not that many. It's, like, in the thousands.
Like, it's very niche.
It's very niche, but apparently there's, like, I can pull up their website right now.
I'm just wondering, like, how many people were, like, deeply invested in this?
I mean, there's, like, still people, like, who are into Urantia. And, like, I think now they've kind of tried to, like, distance themselves. They basically have gotten to the point where they, like, deny all the eugenic shit. And they're like, we're not racist.
Convenient. And you're racist against aliens, apparently.
Yeah, so that's their website.
Wait, do they have an app?
That's their website.
No, it came up with, like, an app suggestion.
Oh, they have an app.
They have an app.
We can read the book on the app.
Please don't download the app.
I'm not going to.
It has 5 stars, though.
Should we read the iTunes reviews?
By the way, rate and review this our podcast.
You can donate. Let's go to frequently asked questions. There's like study groups you can join all around the country.
Oh my God. Can you imagine signing up for something that's run by a cult?
Oh. What do you want to learn? Do you want to know what cosmology is?
Is that like stars and shit?
My brain already can't read this, but it's mathematics, material science. And I can't read these skip. Words. This is where I went to like research this. And then like literally my brain was like, I can't read these words. They're too big for me. And that apparently though,
we sound real dumb right now.
I'm really drunk. But basically, apparently like this book, according to people.
Yeah.
This book is like well written. Apparently like the weird Jesus part is like the best part. Apparently it reads like a fun fantasy novel, which it is.
Like a fanfic of Jesus.
This is like a weird alien Jesus fanfic. And it's what fueled your sleepy time tea. But like no one was like abused or well, I mean.
That we know of.
That we know of. No, it's not like yours where like.
Yeah.
It's just this guy who like founded this company, like founded it based on the values of like a eugenic racist religion that believes in Jesus alien dinosaurs.
Interesting. Okay.
So I encourage you all to download all 2,900 and something pages and read it for yourself.
No.
No.
No, we don't support that.
I mean, like, if you're interested, I guess, but like,
I mean, like,
don't support do eugenics.
Do what you want, but like, we're not supporting that.
I definitely didn't watch some like random man on YouTube try to explain this to me. I was like, I like being mansplained the Urantia book. That feels right.
I can't even really comprehend that.
I can't comprehend it.
I mean, I guess people make up religions all the time.
But like, sorry guys. Based on like, it was like, this guy was having weird dreams and all of a sudden it was the aliens talking. Like, the aliens were communicating through the Kellogg cereal man.
I just want to know, like, what you had to go through in your life to want to believe in that.
I mean, like, I think because they spun it off of...
I know, but it's like, okay, mom and dad, like, I'm going to rebel against you and your Christianity, and then I'm going to, like, believe in Jesus, but, like, I'm going to be a little bit different and weird and quirky, and I'm going to believe that he's an alien.
Well, I think, like, at least, like, with Mo's thing, like, based on, like, he was in this, like, quoted in this other book talking about this book, like, of quotes from CEOs of, like, books you have to read. He talked about the Urantia book, and he was, like, he was soul-searching. He was, like...
It all starts with that.
He was looking for something really bold and like, he was looking for something to believe in, and he found this book because other people recommended it to him.
Oh my God.
And like those first people who believed in it were like friends of this doctor and the Kelloggs, and like the Kelloggs had money.
So hi, we did a dumb thing. I think it might have been me. We lost the last 15 minutes of our last episode.
I feel like every podcast goes through this growing phase where, like, there's technical difficulties and, like, re-recording and that, and this is our first experience with that.
So I left off talking about the Sleepy Time tea cult. Don't remember really where I was going with my last thought, so...
It's been weeks,
because I've been procrastinating on the editing, so...
Yeah, Maggie's been slacking a little bit.
I've been a mess. I'm a very... we're not going to go into that on the podcast.
This is not our teletherapy session, but right, it could...
Sorry, we were just talking about therapy before this, so now we're
maybe
like...
Maybe that can be our next podcast.
Yeah, virtual therapy. With Sierra and Maggie. Anyway.
Oh, that'd be awful.
You got the gist of the Sleepy Time tea cult. We're picking up what I was putting down.
We're assuming that no important information was left out.
Yeah, I think you got the... I mean, like, I was so drunk anyway. I don't think it was making sense either. So, you're fine. So yeah, I apologize for that. Thank you for sticking it out and listening till this part of the podcast, if you've made it here.
Yeah, so now we have to wrap up with our probably best segment that, you know, didn't get recorded. Which is, what sounds or feels like a cult that isn't a cult?
Am I going first tonight?
You can. Would you like to?
Sure. So what's not a cult but feels like a cult to me? I don't know if you've heard of the children's futon. It's like a futon couch thing.
It's literally blocks of foam.
It's like blocks of foam that can be arranged in different ways, but it's like a futon. And it's called
the Nugget. What is it called, Maggie? Yeah, okay.
The fucking Nugget. And some parents have decided that it's really fun after their kids go to bed to, you know, do a little fuckity fuck on the Nugget, on the Nug.
Yeah, since when did we not swear?
Look up the Nugget after, hashtag Nugget after dark on TikTok for some really scarring videos. But yeah, so there's this Facebook group called Nugget After Dark, and it's like all these parents talking about how they love to have sex on their little Nug's Nugget after they go to bed, and it's just like really weird, and like it's like you have to like answer a bunch of questions to get into the group and like prove that you have a Nugget and that you have sex on the Nugget. I think you have to like submit photos, don't you?
Well, I know that like basically they're like about like $200 to $250, but then they have a resale value of higher than their initial value, which is disgusting.
I think because they like sell out really fast, like
when they they're in high demand because it's like a club, like a secret club of moms. Super cool
mommy club. It's like for those rich moms and dads.
Wait, did you say the name of the Facebook?
Yeah, Nugget After Dark.
Yeah. Apparently people have like broken into like the club to like expose everyone, and there's like a lot of drama.
I want to get in and I want to see. Actually, no, I don't. I take that back. I really don't want to see what's being said in there. I lied. Because I think people like post pictures and like weird things about their sexy time on the Nug, and I just don't really want to know what these like vanilla couples like, are doing on the Nug.
Right. It's like suburban middle age. Like,
you know, they're just having missionary on the Nugget, but I don't need to hear about it.
But okay, they're little like triangles and like square foam pads. What's so revolutionary about that?
I don't think the couch is the like revolutionary part. I think it's just, like, I think that the parents are just into, like, the taboo of it because their lives are so boring that they're, like, fucking on this kid's couch is the most dangerous, exciting thing I've done in years, probably. I don't know. I'm not married, so I can't conjecture. But
I think it's the talking about it afterwards is like their little like book club or something. Like, I think that's the part
that's the part that's cool. Like, if you want to fuck on your Nugget, do it. I don't really care.
Ugh.
The fact that people talk about like, it's not even like you talk about it with like your close friends. It's like a Facebook group to talk about it. Like, that's just weird.
It's so gross. Weird. I can't help but think of, like, the husbands just being like, okay, like,
okay, babe.
I'm wrong with it.
Yeah. You know it's never their idea to do it on the Nug.
No.
They're like, can we just do it in the bed like normal?
Oh, gosh. Okay, well.
Yeah, so that's my, what's not a cult but feels like a cult for this week.
Definitely cult-like. Definitely.
Some weird behavior.
Any secret society club that you have to gain special entry into, cult.
Cult. Yeah.
Well, speaking of which.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a super hot take.
We love a good hot take on this podcast.
Yeah, I don't really remember what I said about it the last time, you know, our first attempt.
The missing tapes.
Yeah. So what feels like a cult as of recently, it hasn't always been this way, but definitely as of recently, is the Bachelor Nation.
Yep.
Bachelor, Bachelorette Nation, but I would venture to say it's less so the watchers and less so the viewers, because there's like viewing parties and like there's people who are like really super into it.
But I don't, it's like normal, like,
yeah, they're fine. They're not what I have an issue with.
Like, it's, men do that with sports, like whatever.
Right. So I'm talking about like, okay, Chris Harrison no longer hosts it, like, as of right now, but he's like the cult leader.
Yeah, and charismatic, he's like, cult leader.
All of the producers are like his little like minions who actually like indoctrinate these people.
Except for, I don't think Chris Harrison really has any control. He's just the
big. No, he doesn't. But like, he's like the public figure that reels people in and then befriends them. And then the producers are like these little like manipulative like minions. Like, if you've heard like these like Bachelor tell-alls from like people who've been on the show and that, like, they have dished some dirty deets about like just how produced and how like scripted it is, which is, I think, become more so like that in recent years. It didn't start out, or it didn't seem like that before.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
But anyways, like, I think the people like want to get casted on this show, A, like for the social media following.
Right, the clout. But
B, it's because like once you're a part of like the Bachelor Nation, you get to meet everyone else who's in the Bachelor Nation, not just on like their season,
right,
but like past seasons and future seasons, and you're a part of this like club, and then they do so much shit together of just like Bachelor people, no one else, and like it's these dudes from like all sorts of different seasons. They're like 22 to like 42, and they're just,
some of them are getting old. Yeah.
They're just, like, going out on all these outings together, and then they all date within the Bachelor and Bachelor Nation. They all, like, swap people, and then, like,
sounds like high school.
I know, like, tea comes out about, like, who's with who and who broke up with who, but then who started dating, like, someone else from a different season. And it's just, like, it's become this, like, web of, like, a secret society, but you have to be like popular enough or pretty enough to get in the first place, and then you have to like act, and then you have to kind of become a part of the machine in order to like stay in it.
Well, like, this is like a really side note, but like something came out like about Katie's upcoming season, and like she requested like men of all different body types to be accepted.
Ooh.
And then they like disregarded her wishes, and it's all just like ripped hot guys.
Oh yeah, the producers have been ignoring people's requests for years.
But like, but you would never see it. Like last season, if any of you watched, like Victoria, who was probably like what, a size 6 maybe, was like considered large, and like people were judging her for like not being a model, and I'm like, I mean, they were also judging her for being like a bitch, but
we also think that she was like an actress though, like,
yeah, I think she was paid. Oh, I 100% think she was paid. But it's like, you have to look a certain way to get into this club,
right? And then once you're in, then you're like allowed to date each other because you've like made it past, you know, like social media and like society and blah blah blah, and everyone loves you now. But like some people have made it out of the cult. There are like survivors,
yeah,
if you will.
Oh no,
there are people that are doing really well for themselves.
Yeah,
they're the ones with like podcasts like not about Bachelor shit. Like, they're the ones actually like doing their own thing.
Good for them. Well, one guy, I forget what season it was. It was an older season. He, like, picked someone and then, like, changed his mind and picked, like, the other girl afterwards. And they're, like, still married and just have, like, more kids and, like, being normal.
Ari.
Yes, I think so.
Yes, Ari.
Sure.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
I remember, and then the girl he didn't pick was on Dancing with the Stars. Like, the girl he, like, changed.
Yes, because she also had her own season.
Yeah, well, now she's married and happy, too, so.
No, she's not.
No, yes! We're talking about someone else, then. Anyway, this is a sidetrack that doesn't need to be on the podcast.
Okay, well, you need to tell me, like, who you're thinking about, because this has obviously happened many times.
This was a while ago. Like, we would have been in, like, grade school.
Okay, so one of the first ones. Then I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because their wedding was, like, on TV.
Yes, yes. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Bachelor Nation, Chris Harrison, like, all of that shit is on some next level, like, cult stuff.
Well, not even to mention, like, all the, like, not just, like, the body, like,
not body shaming, but, like, the not inclusivity of, like, normal bodies, but also just, like, kind of the racism that's coming out.
Well, I was just gonna say, like, super duper side note, like, can we just for a second, to anyone who gives any shits about this, like, can we just, like, acknowledge the fact that their whole, like, thing where they brought in Emmanuel Acho to, like, host this, like,
after the final rose.
Yeah, after the final rose. Okay, that was I think it was so shady of the production and ABC to basically, like, make profit off of, like, using someone who actually cares about having these, like, real, like, racial talks and stuff. It's just convenient. Like, they just, like, made this drama, they stirred up a bunch of shit, and then they're exploiting all these people, and then they're trying to be woke, and they're trying to be, like, culturally relevant by saying, like, oh, like, we don't condone this, and, like, let's talk about it, but, like, bullshit. Like, it was so cheesy and so scripted.
Well, and, like, there's no way they didn't know all of those things about Rachel before she was cast. Like, they look into people. So they knew all those things and then proceeded to let her go on, like, the season with him.
And
probably encourage them together, too.
And I feel like Matt's opinion about all of it or whatever was faked also. I feel like he was made out to be, like, he was supposed to be mad at her and he was supposed to break up with her. But I don't think that's actually what happened.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just all messed up.
It's so messed up. But the fact that there's, like, so much drama that gets recycled within that thing. Like, did you ever watch that show? I never watched it, but it was like a reality, like, drama spoof on reality TV shows. I forgot what it's called.
I don't think.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. I don't think I watched it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I've heard it's really good, and it basically, like, goes into all of this stuff about, like, behind the scenes and what really actually goes down. But
right.
Anywho,
we're on, like, a tangent today.
Also, this is a super long outro because, like, we haven't, like, done this in a while, and we're trying to, like,
wrap. Right. It's been like 3 weeks.
You can cut out part of this. I don't care. But I just want to give a shout out because I feel like we should, like, you know, talk about things that we like and whatnot, just, like, briefly. And I want to give a shout out to a podcast that I recently started that, like, guess who? Guess whose podcast?
Who, Sierra?
Sarah and Nippy from Nexium and Val and whatnot. So, long story short, I actually, like, found out about this because they were on Nick Vial's podcast, The Vial Files, which he's an ex-bachelor, but he actually has a really good advice podcast. But anyways, he featured them in, like, a cult episode, and I learned that they have started their own podcast, and it's called A Little Bit Culty, and basically they talk about things and organizations that are cult adjacent, so much like our outro segment. So it's really good. I've only listened to a few episodes, but I love it so far.
So everyone, if you like our podcast, check out that podcast. They're probably better than we are.
They already have so many subscribers, I'm sure, but like, give us some love too.
Yeah, subscribe, rate. keep listening.
Yeah, I mean, if you like it, maybe that will give Maggie more motivation to like
actually keep this up. Well, and we're gonna be living together soon, so like it'll be easier to podcast.
The next time you hear from us, we'll probably be roommates.
And they were roommates.
Yeah, they were roommates.
So get ready for that because it's going to be chaotic and fun.
Cheers.
Cheers. My drink's gone, but cheers.